Israel has sent tanks into the West Bank for the first time in 20 years. It has expelled the residents of three refugee camps in the occupied West Bank, and its prime minister has said that Israel is prepared to resume fighting in Gaza at any moment. Let's talk to Alistair Bunkle, Middle East correspondent with Sky News. Alistair, thanks for taking our call. In the West Bank, what are Israel's plans now for there after expelling the residents and sending in the tanks?
Well, the overarching plan is a counter-terrorism operation that has been lasting for a number of weeks in its current guise at the moment. But really, I mean, in the West Bank, there is an ongoing rolling Israeli operation. This is focused on particularly a town called Jenin and another one called Tulkarm. The presence of Israeli tanks for the first time in more than 20 years since the Second Intifada is a real sort of symbol of Israeli intent. I think in reality, we're talking two or three tanks, only a small number, but the fact that the British, the Israeli military have decided to put them there shows, I think, what Netanyahu wants to try and achieve.
And the UN say that 40,000 people have been displaced, as well as dozens killed since January 21st, when those Israeli operations began. I'm wondering, given how fragile the ceasefire seems to be in Gaza, could what is happening in the West Bank impact Hamas's commitment to the ceasefire?
It could do. Certainly what is happening in Gaza has enabled the Israelis to be able to focus on the West Bank, because their military commitment in Gaza during the ceasefire is reduced, and so they've been able to refocus onto the West Bank. It's also politically been a deliberate move by the Israelis, by the Prime Minister, to appease the right wing in his coalition, a right wing who are against the Gaza ceasefire, but they are appeased because of the operations going on in the West Bank. Nothing that happens here, or even in the wider Middle East, happens in isolation. I don't think that operations in the West Bank currently are what is going to destabilize the ceasefire in Gaza. I think there are other factors that could do that.
Such as?
Well, such as the refusal by Israel at the moment to release 620 Palestinian prisoners as they were supposed to do over the weekend. Now, Israel says it's because Hamas has been playing games and using these hostage releases for propaganda purposes. And certainly we've seen that in Gaza play out week in, week out, these kind of staged releases, propaganda moments, the fact that they returned the wrong body. They didn't return Sheree Bibas last week. They returned an unknown Palestinian body. The fact they made two of the hostages still in Gaza watch on television the release of their fellow hostages. That has led Israel to say, fine, you're not getting those 620 prisoners back. Now, I think Israel hopes that will be resolved before this Thursday, when the final four Israeli bodies in this phase are due to be released. But it's looking pretty precarious. And we always knew that when we got to the point where phase one was over and phase two was due to begin, that would be a moment where the ceasefire could collapse.
And those comments by Benjamin Netanyahu that Israel is prepared to resume fighting in Gaza at any moment speaks to that. He and others in his government, they never really wanted to stop their bombardment of Gaza, did they?
Netanyahu's always, for the last almost 18 months, said that if ever a ceasefire were to come, then Israel would retain the right to go back in again at some point. He's never deviated from that. I suppose with Netanyahu, the question is he saying those words in order, as I said, to appease the right in his coalition who want to return to the fighting, or is he saying it because he believes it and that is his plan all along? The Americans, who are key to all of this, and we've seen how key they are under the new Trump administration, particularly Steve Witkoff, the Middle East envoy, has been saying repeatedly that they will go into phase two, that this ceasefire will continue. But even he is acknowledging now, getting from phase one to phase two, and what that would mean for Gaza is going to be particularly tricky.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, Alistair, because this first phase of the ceasefire is meant to end on Saturday of this week. What happens then?
Well, let's assume that they haven't negotiated the terms of phase two by Saturday. And, you know, I mean, I can't think how that's going to happen, because they barely even started the negotiations. So let's assume that phase two is not agreed by Saturday. I think two scenarios could play out. One is that there could be a sort of an extension of phase one. Now, will that involve just a simple sort of no return to the fighting, or will there be a negotiation for some more hostages and prisoner releases? We'll have to see. The second alternative, of course, is that the ceasefire breaks down completely and it is a return to the fighting.
And what is your assessment as a long-time watcher and observer and analysis of this situation? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, putting me on the spot, I think that there won't be an agreement for a phase two by the weekend. I think the Americans seem, through their language, determined to continue the ceasefire. And as much as Donald Trump is publicly backing Benjamin Netanyahu, I don't think he wants the war to continue. I think it was a very interesting use of words by Steve Witkoff, the Middle East envoy, over the last 24, 48 hours, when he described Netanyahu's two objectives as being the return of the hostages and a situation in Gaza where Hamas is no longer in control. And that last bit is important, because Netanyahu has always spoken about the elimination or the destruction of Hamas. But you could have a slightly softer scenario where Hamas still continues to exist in some form, but is no longer in control. And I think that is a more realistic prospect for Gaza if all sides are willing to try and work towards that.
And no talks at all have begun yet on that second phase, have they?
Well, they have, but not with the intensity that they needed to. They should have begun intensively about 2 weeks ago, at the same time that Netanyahu was arriving in Washington. But they haven't really got off the ground. Now, I mean, that has been for a number of factors. You remember about 2 weeks ago, Hamas threatened to break down the ceasefire and not release some hostages. There had to therefore be talks in order to keep the ceasefire going. And whilst those talks were happening, of course, people weren't able to speak about phase two. But yeah, to all intents and purposes, discussions, negotiations about phase two of the ceasefire, it's a crucial phase of that, because if we get to phase two, it's pretty much an end to the fighting for the long term, and it needs to put in place a future governance for Gaza. And that is why phase two is crucial, but it's also why phase two will be so difficult to achieve.
Thank you very much indeed. Alistair Bunkle, Middle East correspondent with Sky News.